Triple M Rocks Saturday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances.
In 2017.
It's a try!
Run hard and tackle hard.
You'll hear more footy than ever before. Across the Triple M Network. For Bryden's Lawyers, protecting your future. Peter Sterling, Tony Squires, Ryan Girdler, Wendell Saylor and James Hooper.
Oh, you got to love your rugby league.
Triple M Rocks the Footy.
This is Saturday Triple M NRL.
G'day, buddy. Lovely to have your company. It is finals footy, and we are here at beautiful Amy Park ahead of the qualifying final. The Storm, number one, taking on the fourth place Eels. A brilliant place to watch some footy. A cool day in Melbourne, but looks spectacular for what should be a terrific final. We are here. Wendell Saylor is in the Sydney studio. He'll be at Allianz Stadium a bit later on this evening. He did miss the bus. We'll get to that in a moment. As I look out here, Gerds, onto this fabulous field, I see written on the ground, final series 2017, hashtag Cam356. You know what? I feel fairly privileged today because we three gents and, I don't know, 30,000 others are going to witness a man run onto an NRL rugby league field more times than any other player has done in the history of the game. That's pretty sensational, don't you reckon?
Yeah, they do it well down here too, don't they, with the milestones. And he's had a few this year. What was it, 42 Origins, 50 Tests. So it's been a big season for Cam Smith. And performance-wise, he's probably been, well, he has been the best player in their NRL season. He'll top that off with the Dally M medal in a few weeks, guys. But it will be a nice moment down
You've
here.
You've closed, closed the markets, have you?
Well, they're officially closed, Tony. They closed last week. And, yeah, I think that that he's absolutely...
He is $1.08, Tony.
Head and shoulders above, you know, everyone else. Yeah. So far this year, he probably hasn't played as many games as he normally does. Only played 20, had a bit of a rest, which puts him even in better stead at the moment. But it's going to be an amazing occasion down here, and I'm, like you, looking forward to it.
Best time of the year, Tone. September in the air, spring's here. Mm-hmm. Finals footy, and what a moment here today for a bloke who is an absolute ornament to the game. There is nothing left that he hasn't already achieved yet. You could argue, Gerds, that this has been his best season individually in his entire career. It's a phenomenal achievement.
Yeah, can't wait to see him jog out on the field just below us right here at Amy Park. Across the road at the MCG last night, the roof was lifted off. There is no roof anymore, as you know, at the MCG, the Tigers. But there was 95,000. There's going to be a good crowd here this afternoon on a beautiful day for rugby league. And they should see a terrific game of footy as well. I'm not writing Parramatta off the fourth place Eels. They have done enough to prove. In fact, they beat round 18. They had a win here against Melbourne Shore. A lot of the Melbourne players were out at that time on Origin duty. But they come to this ground with a bit of hope in the air.
I'll give the Eels a chance, Tane. They're going to need a lot of luck. They're going to need everything to go their way. As Gerd's touched on, when it comes to milestone matches, no club in the NRL does it better. So given what is at stake for Cameron Smith and the Melbourne Storm today, given the fact they earn a week off and move 80 minutes away from a grand final with victory, the Eels are going to need a hell of a lot of luck and everything to go their way to win.
But I think it's probably the two form teams of the competition at the moment. Last night we saw a bit of a scratchy affair. Look, it was climactic. It was a brilliant finish to the game. But, I mean, in relation to the way the game was played, I mean, it wasn't the best spectacle, was it, for, you know, the rugby league finals.
But we all say climactic again. Climactic. Yeah. What a good word.
But it was, but these two sides, if you look at the Parramatta Eels, I mean, 9 out of their last 10 they've won.
Yeah.
So, you know, they did have that little slip up against the Knights there a few weeks ago where they sort of took their foot off the pedal a little bit looking at what was coming up to be a big game in Brisbane, which they went and they nailed. So the games where they've really had to lift over the past sort of 8 or 9 weeks, they've been able to do it. So if there's a side that is going to come down here out of the remaining sides in the league and give this Melbourne side a little bit of a bother, it's Parramatta.
Come in, Wendell Saylor. Come in, Wendell Saylor. Where are you, fella?
Yeah, boys, I'm here. Mate, it's a great time of the year. And look, you know, last night was a good final. Wasn't the prettiest final, but, you know, the Melbourne Storm, they do it well, as Gerd said. They do the milestones as well. But what I've loved watching about Cam Smith is not what he does just on the field, off the field. I remember there was one time there in Origin where they had their security at Sanctuary Cove there or whatever, and there was, you know, all the boys were on their bikes as they do, and they were going away, and the security bloke said to the kids, like, you know, you got to move away. And then, mate, Cam and Sam Thaiday stayed there to the end and signed the autographs because they understand what it means. And that's, you know, it's only part of, I suppose, what makes Cameron Smith. And if you see the Storm players, you know, after games and stuff, all their kids come on the field, Billy Slater's kids and that. So, you know, it's a wonderful family field down there. But milestones, no one does it better, as Gerd said.
Yeah. Hey, look, how are you feeling today? Because obviously the team's here in Melbourne. We've got lots planned. We're all staying overnight. You know, got some places to go to, things to see. What's your afternoon holding for you, Wendell?
Oh, mate, I feel, you know that song, All By Myself? You know, All By Myself? That's how I feel. When I walked in here, you know, actually a bit earlier than usual, 11:15. And,
and that's 45 minutes earlier than usual.
That's not true. Well, you wouldn't know, mate. You usually walk in about 10 to 12, mate. But anyway, so my afternoon is here, and then I'll drive out to Allianz. My young bloke plays about 5:30, which Brad McNamara was good enough to let me watch him play. I said I'd be happy to go to Melbourne, and then I get to commentate with Maroon tonight, the Panthers Manly game. So that's not a bad weekend of footy, I think.
Yeah, there's plenty of footy for you to hear right here on Triple M. Dan Ganane will be calling this one with Ryan Girdler a little bit later on this afternoon. Hoops, you'll be doing the sideline. This is a great ground for footy, isn't it?
This is the best ground. I mean, we all love Suncorp, but Suncorp's obviously, you know, it holds 55,000 people there. I mean, if you want a 30,000-seat stadium, and this is something that we're looking at for our for the Sydney, Allianz in Sydney, I mean, it's just perfect. I mean, you're really close to the action. You actually, we're about 15 or 20 rows back here in the box, and look, there's not a bad seat in the house, but you feel like, because of the angle of the grandstand, it's like one of those grounds that when you go over to England and you play it over there, it's like one of those. You're so involved in the action here. That's the best part about it.
To the Sydney politicians, if you're listening, Cooey, come down here, just cut and paste this stadium. It is brilliant. It is purpose-built for rugby league. As Gert's just said, you get 30,000 people inside. Everybody gets a brilliant seat. So just borrow it and implement it in
Sydney. Except for that guy up there behind that pole.
Yeah. I mean, rubbish. That's rubbish.
And the other guy, that guy up.
Fun fact, Wallaby Al Baxter was involved in the design of this stadium.
Yeah, true. Yeah. I remember that.
I didn't need your support on that, Wendell, but appreciate it. We have so much to get through in the, 4 hours before kick-off this afternoon. As I said last night, if we have a look at the scoreboard here, the Roosters 24 over the Broncos 22. We're going to have a little look at that in more detail as the afternoon progresses. We are going to speak to Josh Reynolds as well. Michael Gordon from last night's game will also join us. Brett Finch, who is coming in to give us a bit of a travelogue. He spent some time in Melbourne, some of the places we can visit after the game this evening. That should all be terrific. There is so much ahead as we do Saturday Triple M NRL for Bryden's Lawyers. The legal landscape can be confusing. See if you have a claim. Just ask a question at askbrydens.com.au. Yes, indeed. You give love a bad name. This is Saturday Triple M NRL. We are live from Amy Park ahead of the qualifying final. The Melbourne Storm taking on the Parramatta Eels. 4 o'clock is kickoff there. Of course, you can hear the Swans and Essendon today live on Triple M DAB radio. Sydney's best coverage starts from 3. That should be a terrific game of footy. The Swans taking on Essendon. Last night, as a look at the Tyre Power scoreboard, the Roosters 24 over the Broncos 22. As Ryan Girdler said from the top, it was a game close. Gee, the Roosters looked like they had that in the bag, didn't they? The couple of tries that went begging, one to Latrell Mitchell, he knocked on over the line after a brilliant ball from Luke Keary, and also Boyd Cordner, who had the line wide open, was tackled. I know he tripped over his imaginary friend. Down he went.
Sniper.
If those had come through, Wendell Saylor, it would have been all over earlier.
Yeah, 100%. Like, the way they started, the Roosters 14-0, I thought, geez, the Broncos don't get smashed up much in finals, but the way the Roosters started, there was that intent there. On the left side, they just kept targeting Milford. There's a couple of defensive errors between Moga and Milford. And, you know, it comes back, boys, to, mate, Darius Boyd is such an important part of that Broncos team because his voice back there, they know where to be. And I think the late change with Mead coming in also, who hadn't really played there, that was one of Wayne's, you know, I didn't think Wayne would go that way, but he did. And the Roosters were just sort of doing it easy. There was a couple of opportunities there, I suppose, before halftime. They didn't score, but then the Broncos found a way to score a try. I think Benji's little kick there, James Roberts jumps out of the ground as he does, scores that try. And they were so many things happen in finals football. And then when the Broncos got in front there in the second half, you know, I know that we're all talking about Latrell Mitchell and how he played, but, you know, I went back and I looked a little bit of the game last night. Mate, Luke Keary was outstanding. I suppose we gave it to Isaac Liu, but I think Luke Keary, if he doesn't play, they don't win that game. So
yeah.
Roosters, massive effort to bounce back. But the Broncos,
he
was so good. He's been by the year, boys.
Yeah, he was terrific. He's so quick, Luke Keary. He had a hand in so much of the good stuff that happened. Blake Ferguson, he, of course, will be wishing he hadn't done the little tap back in after the 40-20 quick kick from Benji Marshall that led to that try for the Broncos.
He's done some brilliant things. He dragged them out of trouble last weekend against the Gold Coast Titans with some really powerful runs. But that was a gamble that backfired badly for Blake. And absolutely, yeah, he'll be taking care of Luttrell on the end of season tour because he certainly looked after him with that massive moment when he scored the try late.
Boys, I'm with Gerds. Gerds last night said that when he made that play, mate, it was a great kick by Benji to get on that side to hook it back. So Gordon had slid, you know, more so down that short channel. And with that wind, he hooked it back behind him. Mate, I'll be honest, I would have made the same play as Blake Ferguson because you know that 40-20. Because what happens is your centre usually drops back to help you. But give credit to Corey Oates as well, mate, for him to chase. I think he stuffed an opportunity before, but he made that effort. So I was with Gerds last night where I would have made the same play to try and keep that ball in.
Yeah, he did have an opportunity. It was again with Blake Ferguson, wasn't it? He took there was an ugly high punt from Benji that basically went over his head and came off his bonce, I think, of Ferguson. And Corey Oates did have the chance to score on the corner. Didn't take that one, but he certainly did that next opportunity. Gerds, you said it was a bit of a sloppy final, but I watched it on the telly, and I must admit, it was exciting. It was end-to-end. Obviously, there were defensive lapses, a lot more mistakes than you'd expect in that kind of top-quality game of footy, but it actually made for entertaining viewing.
Both sides put, you know, they've played like that all year, haven't they? And the surprising part was after the Gold Coast game, and look, I think you can sort of wipe that one aside for the Roosters last weekend because they did have one eye on the game last night and they got out of trouble late. But you could just see that during that game, they didn't manage the game so well. They're just sort of playing always what they see. It seems like they're just playing for that next moment. And then, you know, Robbo came out through the week, the Roosters coach Trent Robinson, he said, that's the way that I'm going to have my guys just attacking the game at the moment. I'm not going to be too worried about, you know, game management and those sorts of things. We just want to, you know, win the moments. And that's what they did last night. If they would have managed the game and gone out with a different mindset, they probably would have been able to win that game comfortably. They should have been up by maybe 20 or 30 points, you know, in the end. But they didn't. And I think the way they're playing at the moment, they win those big moments. And they have people in their team that the coach believes can stand up when those moments arise, like they did last night when, with 4 minutes to go, they found themselves trailing. They had someone that was able to get them out of the fire. Whether you can win a comp like that, I don't know. Whether you can beat Melbourne Storm playing like that, I don't think so. But at the moment, as Trent said, you know, we're probably not the form side in the competition, but we're winning games, and that's the way we're attacking the finals.
Well, they're 80 minutes from the grand final now, Gerds, and crucially, it wasn't that long ago, they came down here, Tone, and they nearly beat the Melbourne Storm. It was only in the closing stages they came up with some poor decisions under pressure, under clutch plays, and then the Storm, as we know they do, found the answers, came down, worked their way downfield and scored a try to win that game. But I just get the feeling if the Roosters play to their absolute best, then they are a side that can trouble the Melbourne Storm. You look at their big game players last night. Jared Weary-Hargraves was huge. Yep. Jake Friend was great. Threw a beautiful pass for Aiden Guerra early in the piece. Yeah. Boyd Cordner was enormous. Luke Keary was great. So their big game players did what they needed them to do.
Yep.
And then you've got the firepower of a young gun like Luttrell Mitchell
that
can break a game open and can turn a game on its head. They're a good side.
At their best, I mean, for the first 20, 25 minutes when they blew the Broncos off the park, it looked like, they were well and truly on their way to, you know, maybe coming up in a big game at the end of the season and going head-to-head with the Melbourne Storm. But then there's 20 minutes during that game where
they go off.
And they don't just go off. They're dropping footballs and they just allow Brisbane, who were playing really poorly, but, you know, their spirit and they were brave and they got themselves back into the game. But a good side would have put the Roosters away during that period. So if they're going to win in, you know, the big end of town, they're going to need to play for at least 75, 80 minutes because otherwise that's why they didn't beat Melbourne down here. Because they had a good night out and they were the better side, but they didn't manage it for 80 minutes and they got beaten.
They started to push a couple of passes. And I guess when you are scoring tries and you are clearly on top of the opposition, it's hard not to go that. I mean, Mitch Orbison did one pass, you know, the same kind of thing, under pressure, didn't need to do it. But there's a sense, we're going to score here, we're going to score here, and then suddenly it turns around when you lose the ball, you know, early in your set. But what about Luttrell Mitchell, Wendell? You've been a huge fan of that type of footy player. You know, everybody, nobody wanted to do the GI tag, but boy, that try was spectacular, wasn't it?
Well, it was good, but what's matured about, I suppose, Luttrell? Look, we've all watched him, boys, we've got that early, watch the 20s, and there's always that one kid who stands out. You know, we've seen Ben Barber in the past, Tommy Trbojevic, mate, Luttrell Mitchell in the 20s, he can make a mistake, and then he'll score a hat-trick, you know, and then he tried to play like that in first grade the last couple of years. for Trent Robinson to drop him after that Brisbane game. He went back to reserve grade to Wyong, worked on himself. He understood what it meant to be a first grader, not just make big plays here and there, but to minimise those mistakes. And, mate, I've always been a fan of the kid. I think Joey Johns has too. But last night, he stood up in that clutch moment. And, you know, Blake Ferguson, I saw Blake hugged him in that. And I think after the match, you know, Blake actually, you know, said, you know, he was happy that he scored. And I bet he was. But that's the sort of football that he can play. And I think I said it last night on the call. I'd like to see Mel pick him in that World Cup squad at the end of the year. Because if you pick a young player like that, I reckon he'll play for Australia for the next 10 years in New South Wales. You know, they always pick a couple of young guys in those Australian squads. I was lucky enough in 94 to go on that tour with Steve Menzies. And I reckon Latrell Mitchell, this is the perfect time, if he has a good series, to put him in that squad.
Yeah, you're spot on, Wendell. I know he was in the mix for the Blues this year. Laurie Daly considered picking him, and he went very, very close. So, look, he wouldn't let anybody down in that arena, and he'd obviously gained so much from being around that elite class of player in that style of environment. The other bloke you've got to give a massive rap to, Tone, is Trent Robinson.
Yep.
The way that he was able to read Latrell Mitchell's form earlier in the season, the fact that he was still adjusting to being a full-time NRL player and the demands of it, the way that he made the hard-line decision. You know, James Roberts gave him bath up at Suncorp Stadium earlier in the year, and he decided that he was going to drop him after that, and then he just managed him perfectly, eased him back in, and to have him firing on the big stage the way he did last night, brilliant performance.
And I don't want to bag Trent Robinson, but I've got to say, I don't know why he would have put Daniel Tupou, who's a strike player, on the bench, leave him for a week, because I think the other young kid, he was going all right too. Was the other young centre they had there originally?
Joseph Manu.
But Manu was there, and I think, what's to go with Daniel Tupou now? I don't know, but I think
he looked as though he dusted his groin again last night.
He did. All right, look, Corey Oates, when he scored that try, put the Broncos in front very close to the end of the game. Many people thought that could have been it. One man, apparently, who didn't believe that the Broncos had done enough to hold on and win it was the coach, Wayne Bennett. Let's hear a bit of what he had to say after the game.
You watched it. It's pretty easy to see where it went wrong. Just full of mistakes.
Are you surprised you were in the game a couple of months ago?
Yeah, I was, actually. But, you know, the thing about the Broncos, they're brave. They don't give up. They're getting out play and not playing well themselves, and but they won't give up. But that was why they were still in the game.
What frustrated you most, Wayne, about today?
Oh, just our performance. Poor.
Six errors in the second half. I think we had 18 mistakes after the first 20 minutes.
Yeah, well, like I said, it was there for everybody to see, so I'm not going to relive it all again. But
Wayne, the positional changes late in the
Well, I just thought we'd take a bit of pressure off Cody. Yeah. That didn't affect us. That worked pretty good. So. Yeah.
Did you always plan to go that way?
Oh, well, it was in the back of my mind.
Was the plan always after 20 minutes to the break taking you
out? Wasn't that precise, but something like that, yeah.
Wayne, can you really comment that defensive effort?
We'd be lucky to beat the teams that finished 15 and 16 with their extra night, so.
Adam, how disappointed are you?
Yeah, just disappointed, I guess. We weren't ourselves. We didn't play how we wanted to play. Like Wayne said, errors coming off our line let us down.
There it is, Wayne Bennett. He wasn't happy at all with the performance of the Broncos, as you would expect. He certainly, over the years, he's been a bit of a perfectionist. Wendell, you went into the rooms after the game?
Oh, yeah, I went down to see a few of the boys and just see Darius and when he'd be back. And, but it was actually, he wasn't in bad spirits when I went down there. You know, the team were just disappointed. I think they expected more from themselves because their finals record hasn't been good on the road, as you know, Tone. So I just think they thought that's one. They probably didn't deserve it. They could have stolen. You know, it's happened to them before. But yeah, there was a few boys that were disappointed because I think they just knew that, you know, finals football, it's going to be a tough road now because that virtually puts them on the side of Melbourne, doesn't it?
Yep.
Yeah.
That's right. Yep. It's not where you want to be. All right, we are going to speak with Michael Gordon very shortly. You, of course, piloted the winning goal over the post. We'll get to him very shortly. This is Saturday Triple M NRL for Brighton's Lawyers. The legal landscape can be confusing. See if you have a claim. Just ask the question at askbrightons.com.au.
Another Saturday NRL highlight. Wendell Schocker's start to 2017.
And Gareth, speaking of St. George Illawarra, what about my Brisbane Broncos the other night?
Can I just say, how do you begin your new season by saying, speaking of St. George Illawarra Dragons, what about the Broncos? What the hell? What planet does that make any sense?
Well, because it was the first game of the season, we called it for Triple M, myself, Jamie South, Dan Ganane, and, you know, it was against the Premiers.
He just started the season like he finished the last one.
Confusing for the rest of us.
Big Joe, we love you.
Yeah, me too. Three-time premiership player at the Broncos, mate. Yeah,
we're all in the same club, obviously.
Dual international.
Yeah, we are live from Amy Park in Melbourne ahead of this qualifying final. The Storm taking on the Eels. It is Cameron Smith's 356th game in the NRL. He goes past Darren Lockyer's amazing record. That will all happen in front of us right here, and you will, of course, be listening to it on Triple M. No matter where you are up and down this white brown land of ours, right now, the look at the Tyre Power scoreboard, 24-22, the Roosters over the Broncos. We're now joined by the man, as I said, who piloted the ball over the black dot to get the win, Michael Gordon from the Roosters. G'day, mate.
G'day, how's it going?
Very well, thank you. Gee, that was never in doubt, was it?
Oh, geez, no, we just like to make it interesting for the fans and for the coach, so it was a very tough game, and we're lucky to get away with the win in the end.
Yeah, and Blake Ferguson, was he in the dressing room after the beautiful assist he had for Corey Oates?
No, obviously, yeah, he's pretty, devastated with himself, but he's a quality player, and I'm sure he'll bounce back bigger and better than that.
Hey, Flash, just quickly on that play, where were you? So, because obviously, Blake would be throwing that back in, hoping that you would have been somewhere or the right centre would have been somewhere. Where were you when that play happened?
Well, I was, because we had Hunt and Marshall on our left, I'm sort of hugging the left side for them because I thought Marshall was going for a 40-20 on my side. Yeah. And then he's hooked it back and it was an absolute shank, but it's probably the best shank I've ever seen.
I did say that.
You could see him. He was looking at it. Once he looked up and he saw me, he's like, all right, well, I've got to hook it back. So by the time he hooked it back, I was probably 10 metres in, and then, it's one bounce almost over the sideline, and, even if I sprinted, which I'm not very fast anymore, I was never going to get there. But, it was a couple of little things here and there that we let ourselves down on, but, for the most of it, I thought we were really, really good in patches last night.
Yeah, that's what I want to say. I mean, obviously, when you guys went up there in round six, they did a bit of a job on you. Defensively, they really troubled you guys. Last night, though, I mean, from the back, you got the best view in the house. Defensively, you must be really happy with that performance.
Yeah, I think we've been building over the last few weeks of our defence. Yeah, we spoke about last night. They're a really tricky side to defend on last tackle. They run a lot, and they shift, and they'll grab her, and they're sort of real... throw the unexpected at you, and they scored two tries off grabbers last night, which was probably the most disappointing part. But I think defensively we're heading in the right direction, and it's a good thing at this time of year.
Hey Mick, congratulations on the win. It was a hell of a gutsy team performance. What's the latest on Daniel Tupou? We hadn't seen him for 6 weeks last night. Didn't come on until late in the game, and then it looked as though he injured his groin again.
Yeah, I don't know the exact diagnosis. I think it was, well, from what my understanding, it was just scar tissueing, like the tearing of the scar tissue. So I don't know if it's as bad as what had happened, but it was funny because he literally just come on and had a run, and then he was on the ground and we were all screaming at him to get up, but I didn't actually realise that he'd hurt his groin again.
What do you think he was saying?
Lazy. you've had your one carry, mate. Come on, you can't lay down.
Hey, Flash.
No, I'm not sure if it's as bad, but honestly, I don't know. He'll have to have all the scans and stuff, but as far as I know, it was more just the scar tissue ripping, which obviously would have felt painful, yeah.
Hey, Flash, it's Del, mate. Now, mate, I think you sent us... For Robbo to, you got a guy like James Roberts there. For guys like Ryan Madison and Mitch Orbison to play on guys like him and Moga, they played well. It's a pretty good effort last night.
Oh, yeah, 100%. And then, them boys are both back rowers, but they're speed, quick enough, and they've got the agility to handle defence. And, I thought Maddo done a really, really good job on Roberts. He didn't give him any space, and, because, Roberts doesn't need much space and he'll burn anyone. But, he was, I thought he was really good defensively on him last night.
Does Latrell Mitchell know how good he is?
Yeah, he certainly does. Well, you know, we all know how good he is, and sometimes, you know, it might take him a little kick up the backside to realise it. But mate, what a play that was, and you know, crucial time of the game. We needed a big play, and you know, that was something special.
The man that laid it on for him, Flash, has probably been one of your best all year, Luke Keary. What have you made of his season?
Yeah, mate, he's been unbelievable. I think just, you know, the combination of him and Pierce, you know, they're both, Pierce is just so direct and, you know, he's just such a good halfback, and Keary's just got that, he's got that turn of speed that troubles a lot of defenders because he gets on that sweep line and, you know, he'll get outside the back rowing and then the halves start second-guessing themselves and, you know, he's been causing teams headaches all year and, you know, he was outstanding again last night.
Hey, Flash, Isaac Liu, look, he played like Tuckiaho. I knew Isaac Liu was good, but Tuckiaho usually does what he does. You know, his footwork through the middle there, and he was unlucky not to score that try. Have you guys always known that he's that sort of player?
Oh, yeah. And he does it at training week after week, and he does it in most games, and it goes unnoticed, but not by his teammates. He's got such great late footwork, and he's all our forwards have got really good passing game, but he's probably, you know, the top of our forwards are that short pass and that short tip on because he's got great late feet to tip on, and it just, man, he was creating that many headaches up the middle for the Broncos last night.
He was like 120 metres after about 45 minutes or something. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, but he honestly, the way he started, and he was outstanding for us, and he really set up the game.
So, Michael Gordon, you obviously now get a week off. What's the plan? Go surfing? Has Trent got, you know, go down to the movies? What's the plan?
No, we were all down at Bondi this morning. She was very fresh down there, and the surf was well too big for anyone to swim properly. But no, went down, done the recovery. You know, obviously a few bruised and battered bodies around today. So I think the weekend off is going to be perfect. But we'll have a good week of training, and then get to sit back and enjoy the next couple of games.
Speaking of fresh, Flash, you want to try Melbourne? It's fresh with a capital F down here, about 12 degrees at the moment. Hey, mate, I wanted to ask you, your coach, Trent Robinson, he's done a brilliant job in his tenure at the Sydney Roosters. What were his key messages after that performance last night inside the sheds?
He was obviously wrapped that we got the victory, and I think, you know, the players knew the same. It was, you know, we were brilliant in patches, you know. I think when we're on and when we're playing our power game, you know, we're as good as any team in the comp, but it's just those, you know, it was sort of our last plays defending and last play options with the ball that just sort of cost us, you know, probably the last 10 minutes of the first half and a couple of patches in the second half. So, you know, it's something we need to fix, and, you know, it is something that is easily fixed, but, you know, we need to get on top of it straight away.
Hey, Flash, have you played in a grand final qualifier before?
No, I haven't. I've been to week two of the semis, but straight to the week three. So I'm pumped. Yeah, hasn't sunk in yet that, you know, I've got a week off and I'm playing to get in the grand final.
Well,
but yeah,
it was
sort of, yeah. Oh, mate,
you thoroughly
I'm
deserve
I can't
it.
Wait. Thank you,
mate. All the best with it. Congratulations on last night. May you go deep into this final series. Well played.
No worries. Cheers, fellas.
See you, bud.
There is good bloke Mick Gordon right there, of course, with the Roosters. 24-22 winners over the Broncos. We are going to have a little chat with Josh Reynolds very shortly. Next, because we are in finals 40, we are building towards a grand final. Why won't we play a bit of best of the best, the best grand finals? That's next. This is Saturday Triple M NRL for Bryden's Lawyers. Saturday Triple M NRL. We do it for Bryden's Lawyers, and we are doing it live from Amy Park in Melbourne. The qualifying final, the Storm taking on the Eels at the moment. Clear blue skies, cool day. The forecast is for 12 degrees come kickoff at 4 o'clock. Perfect for a game of rugby league in this city. All right, it's time for this.
On Triple M NRL, the best of the best.
Yeah, grand finals, that's what it's all about. That is what we're building towards as this final series gets underway this weekend. So let's have a little look back as we look forward to this year's grand final about what the best of the best grand finals over the years have been. Who wants to start me off?
Yeah, I'll kick off, Tone.
Okay.
I'll tell you what, great subject, best of the best grand finals. How good is it, the big dance at the end of the year? So I'm going to start back in 1997, Tone.
Oh, yeah.
The Newcastle Knights, when they upset the Manly Seagulls in the ARL competition. Nobody gave them a chance. Joey Johns had been in hospital all week with a punctured lung.
Yep.
I think the doctor, Nathan Gibbs, came out and said he could die if he played. And then obviously went out and came up with that brilliant blindside
like
play.
Words for Joey.
Yeah, exactly. Came up with that brilliant blindside play for Darren Albert, and it was just absolute brilliant history. Then I'm going to touch on one of our own commentary team members in a grand final that he won in 2003, Ryan Girdler. I was lucky enough to be covering that game for the Telegraph at the time, and it was a hell of a ride that the Panthers went on that season, Tony. Nobody gave them much of a chance, and they powered all the way into the grand final and then beat the side that were red-hot favourites, the Sydney Roosters, that season.
You covered a little bit of the celebrations as well.
Yeah, yeah. Cover the aftermath. I did cover the aftermath, Ryan. Yes.
Which days did you cover?
A couple of them.
Oh, one, two, three, four, five.
Well played. Day four was better than day three, day, you know.
Yeah, day six was actually better than day five.
Well played.
Then one of my favourite moments as well was also 2005, another unsung style of a victory for the West Tigers. Nobody really gave them a chance that season, Tone. They were the underdogs, and Benji Marshall came up with a brilliant flick pass for Paddy Richards, who was playing with, I believe, 8 painkilling injections in his ankle that season. So, yeah, that was also a wonderful moment, Tone.
All right, my my first one was back in 91, the Panthers' first grand final. That was actually the first game grand final I ever went to. I went there as a fan. I didn't know that a couple of years later I'd be playing for Penrith, but yeah, I just went up there and watched that one, and to be there live and to watch, you know, Royce and Brandy lift the shield that day, it was a really good day. Then a couple of more recent ones, South Sydney, 40 years in 2014. You know, I know they were dominant in that game, but just to be there and see what that meant to that club and the fans was just a special moment.
Sammy Burgess.
You know, broken cheekbone.
Yeah. Incredible scenes. Yep. 2015, though, probably the best grand final of all time. You know, Jonathan Thurston, the Cowboys. Unfortunate for the Broncos, but they've had plenty of glory over the years, and that was
they just match up beautifully when they play belter. Football against each other. Yeah. Those two teams.
Yeah,
that was a great.
Oh, that Michael Morgan pass. Yeah, that flick pass for Felt.
That had everything that game.
Yeah,
everything
it really did.
Yeah, Del. Yeah. Where are you going?
Look, I'm going back to 1989. Everyone, like, you know, the Canberra Raiders had such a, you know, formidable side. And then, you know, the Balmain Tigers, they were there. There was a bloke called Steve Jackson. I'm from Mackay, so I didn't know at the time. But when he scored that try, my old man goes, man, he's a Mackay bloke. So Martin Baller and Dale Shearer were, you know, obviously stars. But Steve Jackson scoring that try, mate, it was a great grand final. Probably not for Balmain people now. I think watching the 1997 grand final, Newcastle Knights, Manly were very dominant. They were virtually home. And then, you know, as Joey does, I've been playing against him since we've been 17, 18. He's always been a freak. So he finds that moment. Darren Albert scores that try. And for me, I think, the 2015 game where the Cowboys played the Broncos, you know, being a North Queensland boy, I always wanted the Broncos to win. But when Thurston sort of, people said that he hadn't really won a grand final, but for him to make that play at the end, miss that goal and do it, mate, you got to pay respect. The Cowboys deserve that, and, you know, North Queensland deserve that. So it was a great victory, and, mate, how good grand final time.
What? No, I can't believe anybody didn't mention 1977, the, you know, St. George.
I was three.
The draw with Parramatta. I was there at the SCG.
Yeah.
And, yeah. Ed Salkowitz scored in the corner. Mick Cronin to convert. That was 9-all. They would have won. He missed it. Everybody had to come back the following Saturday, 22-0 to the Dragons. Beautiful memories. We're talking about the Eels there, and, of course, they play here this afternoon. There's been a few of those grand finals recently where it's been a little bit the fairy tale has come true, hasn't it? Whether it be in the South with the 43 years, whether it be the Cowboys' first one, the Sharks, the whole port flight.
Yep, absolutely.
Eels now are the team that have waited the longest. I think they're 31 years since their last
1986 is the last time, Tony.
There is that kind of sense around them, given what's been going on in grand finals the past few years, that maybe if that spirit of is going to carry through this year, they could be
the NRL gods, Tony.
The NRL gods.
Are they going to go
football gods?
That's what I'm saying. I'm just saying, just think about it.
Yeah.
Think about it. It could be.
It's a brilliant narrative.
Yeah. Thank you so much. That's what I'm paid for. This is Saturday Triple M NRL. Josh Reynolds joins us next.
Never miss a minute of the footy. Download the Triple M NRL app and listen anywhere. The Bryden's Lawyers, protecting your future. This is Saturday Triple M NRL.
It's time to rewrite History is now.
With Peter Sterling, Tony Squires, Ryan Girdler, Wendell Saylor and James Hooper. Triple M rocks the footy.
Love to have your company on this Saturday afternoon from Amy Park in Melbourne. The Storm taking on the Eels in the qualifying final. As those finals get underway, I guess it is those players who have just missed out. I'm not sure how they cope with what's going on. One man who can tell us exactly is Josh Reynolds from the Bulldogs, who joins us right here, right now. G'day, mate.
Hello, boys.
Are you sitting in front of the TV last night? Did you watch? Will you be watching this afternoon? Or is it all just bitter and twisted, can't possibly look at it?
It's funny that, you know, when you get knocked out, you know, you're like, oh, there's no way I'm watching any more for you. But, yeah, you definitely find yourself watching all the games. And it is hard to watch, I'm not going to lie, because, you know, I've been a part of semi-final football, been a part of the grand finals. And, you know, I know it's a bit of a cliche, but it is what you play for. You know, like, look at last night. It comes all the way down to the wire and, you know, you really rip in for each other. So, yeah, hard to watch, but good to watch.
Hey, Josh, what'd you make of it the other night at your presentation night when Ray did tell that story about James Graham and how he was prepared to sacrifice a fair chunk of his salary to try and keep you at Belmore?
Yeah, mate, that was I got a bit emotional there. You know, it was I'd had a few under my belt as well, so I was a bit but made a gesture like that. Is unbelievable, you know, and I think the best thing out of all of it is that he never told a soul. He didn't want any sort of recognition for it, and I'll be forever grateful for that, bloke, because, you know, for him to take food off his family's table and, you know, want to give it to me just to stay at the club, I think it just shows you that the bloke he is. And, you know, there was another thing as well when he knew that he wasn't going to be at the club next year and, you know, let me lead out the side for that last time, I think it just proves, you know, what kind of person he really is, and, you know, he's going to be a massive asset for the Dragons.
And that is the cruel irony, Josh, isn't it, that now neither of you are going to be at the Bulldogs next year?
Yeah, it is. You know, it's it all happened, you know, for me. I've known for a long time, but with all the James stuff, I honestly never, ever thought it would happen because, you know, as Hoops would have seen or heard at that presentation, you know, all people were saying was when you think of the Bulldogs, you know, of present, you think of James Graham, you think of his leadership, Bulldogs instinct, I suppose. But, yeah, it's going to be, you know, different not having him there. And, yeah, it's going to same for me too. It's a new chapter for both our lives. But, you know, they'll know I'm whether we'll be able to take away the great moments we created together and as a team at that club.
Tell us a little bit about what the Dragons have purchased. What sort of man is he? What's he going to contribute to their organisation?
Well, I know that every single time, you know, I've run out with James, that I've never, and especially with him being his captain, you never, it's probably not the word to use, but you never feel scared. You always know James is going to be there, and he's never going to, you know, turn down, you know, to anyone. He's always on the front foot.
Sorry, mate, your phone is cutting out there a little bit.
I thought Darth Vader was on the line, that's all. You're right there, Joshy?
No, we seem to have lost Josh Reynolds there.
Yeah.
We'll never to get that.
We'll have to get Wendell to call in from Sydney because we're in Melbourne and the line's no good down here.
It's long distance.
Yeah, STD.
Exactly right. But that's so, we were talking about before, Gerds, that notion. We saw that, you know, the presentation night, those two guys who are so synonymous with Bulldogs, with the Bulldogs culture, and the story from Ray Dibb talking about the ratchet clause in James Graham's contract so that when the salary cap goes up, a percentage, his contract goes up by a percentage, he was willing to sacrifice that to keep Josh Reynolds because Josh Reynolds is so important within that culture. Yet now neither of them stays at the club. How does it get to that?
It's hard to believe, Tony, isn't it? Because they're the kind of guys that you build a club around. They're the kind of guys that you want to play with and that people want to come to your club and be involved with. So the fact that now they're both leaving, and I know the Bulldogs needed to make some changes because of whether it be salary cap, whether it be, you know, they need better performance. But why it had to come down? And look, I know, from what I believe, James...
And Josh is with
And Josh
again.
Is back?
Yep.
Oh, well, I better not say what I was going to say about him.
Is he back with us?
Yeah. I'll wait till he goes. I'm learning off you, Tony.
Yeah.
No, but I think, Josh, we're at the point where you were just sort of saying about, you know, whenever you run onto the field with a guy like James, you're not scared. You just know you're going to be okay.
And yeah, and scared might not be the right word, but I'm sure the people who know, who have played with James will know what I'm talking about. He's just, you know, he's always up for the occasion. He's a guy that, you know, wears his heart on his sleeve, and as a captain, you know, that's what you want. And he's going to be truly missed for so many things. And he's a great guy off the field too. You know, he's always there for all the young guys. He's, you know, he's not all about just the top squad. And I'm sure you can go and ask a bunch of the 20s players and the Premier League players about the kind of bloke he is for them, and they probably say the same thing.
Hey, Josh, I was just going to say that about James Graham. Look, when he had to always come out and defend Desi and stuff, and he obviously is a very loyal bloke, and, mate, what he's done for you, mate, I respect that, because I wanted Gordon Tallis to do that for me in 2000 when I was going to rugby, and he said, mate, enjoy rugby, mate. So, there was, but I think for him, it seemed to play on his mind a little bit. Every time he had to do 360, he's always having to sort of back Des, and he never spoke a bad word about him. He just seems like the sort of bloke the Dragons need at the moment.
100%, though. I think, you know, he's never going to go out there and put someone on show, or, you know, make him look bad, because, you know, he's just not that kind of guy. And you're right, I think he might have had to bite his tongue a few times here or there, but I think the type of bloke he is, you know, all that just clearly shows that, you know, he's not out there to make anyone, you know, look bad, because in the end, we're not sure who, I'm not sure, and he's probably not sure exactly who was behind it all, but... Yeah. Yeah, for him, like you said before, I just think the Dragons have picked someone up who they need, and I think he's just going to, you know, take that forward pack in that club to new levels, because he'll get the camaraderie going, he'll be the glue, he'll be the one that will want to make sure that, you know, they're going to want to change. You know, obviously missing the semis this year, I'm sure he's taking that one step further.
Another club who's done very well is the Tigers, because they've picked up one Josh Reynolds, and we know what he can bring to a club and will do. You must be pretty happy looking at the back end of what's gone on at Tigerland, because they've suddenly picked up. Sure, they've, you know, they struggled with some wins, but they've been a little bit more consistent. Ivan Cleary has got a good side going together, plus there are some good names, yours included, obviously, some big boppers up front as well that will be joining the Tigers next season. There's a lot to look forward to.
Yeah, definitely, mate. I think, you know, obviously I've been watching the Tigers now for the, you know, ever since I signed, because they'll obviously be my teammates next year. And I think just watching the last couple of games, if you actually look at their team sheet, they had, like, players playing out of position, and like Elijah Taylor's playing hooker. And but for them to step up and, you know, win those games, hang in there, be gutsy, that's what you want. You know, it's not always going to go your way. You're not going to have... You know, guys always playing in positions and whatsoever, but I think Ivan's definitely instilled some real tough mentality into that team. And, you know, for me coming in, and I'm sure the other blokes are thinking the same who are coming from other clubs, we just want to buy into that. And, you know, if there's you know, 17 blokes out there that want to rip in for each other week in, week out, whether you're the, you know, the most talented team or not, I'm pretty sure enough that you're going to be, you know, get more W's than the losses. So I'm really excited for the challenge ahead. I really am. It's going to be something so different for me. But, you know, I think it's a club that really deserves to, you know, play semi-final football and go well, because we all know they're a massive, they got massive fan base, and I'm sure they want, you know, some good results. So I can't wait.
He looks a good coach, Ivan Cleary, Josh, and I think he's got his fingers crossed too that he might even be a chance of jagging Matt Moylan for next season. So that would be absolutely huge if they could land another signature like that. But what I wanted to ask you about is just take you back a little bit to the Bulldogs and the season that was. As a player, was it distracting, mate, all the outside noise and all the constant speculation about Dez and about your roster and about players possibly moving or being tapped on the shoulder? Was that hard to sweep to one side every weekend?
For me as a player, and I know every other player would probably be exactly like that and say, oh, you know, it's sweet, you know, we block it out, this and that, but I'd be 100% lying if I was to say that you could fully block it out, because there seemed to be always something there. There was always, like you said, there was always a, you know, a player might have been shopped around. There was always, you know, Dez is under scrutiny. There was always, you know, there's the ball, this and that, and it just seemed to, you know, constantly be about the Bulldogs. But I think as a playing group, we've done our best to block it all out. But, you know, there's always going to be guys that, you know, they might just ask you a question, or did you hear anything? And it might be about them. And it is hard, because sometimes, you know, other guys might know something, and you know they might not be able to tell, or you just don't know. So yeah, it was hard, mate. You know, especially as it's just hard as mates seeing people go through that. You don't want anyone. You know, these blokes got families. These blokes have got, you know, they got mortgages. They got this and that. And to hear that they're going to be shopped around, it sucks. So yeah, like I said, I'll be lying to say it wasn't a bit tough, but you know, that's rugby league, and you got to learn to deal with things. And I'll definitely, you know, take a lot out of this year, because it's definitely showed me that, you know, you can't just sweep things under the rug. I reckon it's better to get them out on the table and, you know, and just move forward from whatever the result is.
Mate, I know you've always backed him, but the last couple of weeks, Michael Leisha or Elisha, whatever you want to say, mate, that's the player that we all saw.
You want to say
how about
correctly?
You get his name right,
will they pronounce it two different ways? But mate, for a player like that, that's the bloke that the Dogs, you know, signed after Mick Ennis. That's the player that I wanted to see. What changed in those couple of weeks? I know the pressure was off, but geez, he was outstanding last week against the Dragons again.
Yeah, you're 100% right there, Leash. Leash, one of them.
Sorry, mate, my fault.
You're
50% right.
I'm about to go see him now. He'll be filthy. But, no, I think he had that one game where he broke out, and he had, you know, I think he had about 10 runs for 100 metres and 2 try assists. And like you said, that was the Leash that, you know, come out of that 20s. And I think it was just a confidence thing, mate. We all knew that, you know, we had it in him. And you know, I know everyone says it's, you know, with Dez's game plan, this and that, it is hard for hookers, but I think Leisha sort of said, you know what, this is my playing style. They brought me to come here to do this, and mate, didn't he go well? Oh, like, honestly, he honestly, for me watching from the sideline, because I was out for a little bit, he just created that another dimension to our attack. The people at A and B had to watch him. He's just so fast down there, and then to sort of, I only just got a little bit to play with in that last game before Wollstone went off again, but he just created, just for the halves, took that little bit of pressure off us, and mate, he's unbelievable. I said it, you know, last week, I honestly don't know how someone hasn't, you know, come and signed him up, especially after those last three games, because honestly, mate, he's a young guy. He when he gets confident, like, look out. So
you should have a chat to the coach, Ivan.
That's true. You never know, mate. But someone has to, you know. Yeah, and I think the Dogs are, you know, maybe keen to get him back and that now, because they're probably going, you know, well, look at this bloke. He could be exactly what they need. So I really think, you know, this is me telling the club to sign him up, mate, because he's a great guy too, mate. He'll train hard, and he'll make sure he'll rip in, that's for sure.
Well, it's a beautiful reference you've written, isn't it, for him? It's great. We're running very late, but you're too good not to keep talking to you. Just one final question, Josh Reynolds. For you, do you require surgery in the off-season? How are you health-wise?
Well, I think I was sweet up until I had to go on Mad Monday with crutches, and mate, hasn't it taken a turn? But nah, it's all good, mate. I'm G'd up. I'm just, I haven't the boys out listening, but I'll be sweet. I've been on to the physio and the doctor at the Tigers already, and we're going to go get an opinion from someone to see what they think. But either way, I'm just going to rip into whatever happens, you know, be positive and just be ready for a massive preseason at the start of, at the end of this year. So I can't wait.
Well, you look good in Mad Monday being security, so you've obviously learned a few lessons this year, mate.
Well done, Josh, mate.
Josh Reynolds, we love and admire the passion that you bring to the sport and to conversations about the sport. Congratulations on all that you did for and with the Bulldogs, and I'm sure it's going to be just as exciting as you get into the orange and black of the Tigers. Well played, mate.
Thanks, boys. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it. Thank you, mate.
Well done, there mate. Is Josh Reynolds, a good man heading from the Bulldogs, as you know, to the Tigers. We are at Amy Park, planning to come. We've got to get you some news. We're going to do the stock market, so much ahead. Brett Finch will also join us. This is Saturday Triple M NRL for Bryden's Lawyers.
Triple M Rock, Saturday Arvo Footy for Bryden's Lawyers. Protecting your future.